Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Chauncey. We're into March, which means March Madness.
Which means March Madness.
Or March Magic, whatever you want to call it.
Yep. But high school basketball been great. Girls high school basketball, Muskegon, Lady Reds, we did a pretty good job. Coach Walker had a great plan. Beat Kennewick Hills, played on the shores in a controversial game with a last second play that where referee probably supposed to swallow his whistle.
No call, man.
No call.
That was on TV. Yeah, everybody in West Michigan seen that.
Yeah. So they know that was. And then Mona Shores bowed out. Oak Ridge bowed out.
Yeah.
I think everybody from our community done playing basketball.
Yeah.
So
we're just watching the girls now. We have nobody to root for.
Yeah, we had nobody to root for. We just watching the girls now and we going on. But a great thing is brewing with the boys, though.
Oh, my God.
The boys are 22-0. But then on the flip side of it, we got another boy over at Cass Tech that's from Muskegon.
Really?
They just beat Detroit East English.
Seriously?
And Detroit East English, they said they had the easy path to the Breslin, and they just beat them. Last night I talked to, I think it was Pastor Murray's son. He's played for Muskegon last year. He was a sophomore.
Right,
that they was that.
Oh, that's where he's at Cass?
Yeah, he's doing great. He had 15 last night. 9 in the last 2 minutes of the game.
I didn't know. I talked to Pass before he left, man. I didn't know where they was going.
Good things is going, man. So, but where it looked like, I think Muskegon, I'm thinking the whole time, I seen Muskegon there. And Detroit East Lincoln, they had a guy going to Michigan and a guy going to Michigan State.
Okay.
And Cass Tech beat him. So I'm looking at it like, it might be a complexion, but we might just see him, an old Muskegon player
Wouldn't
going against his
great.
Brothers. But
Wouldn't
that says a lot about our city, though, that we could have a player in another city making a contribution on a team that's putting out Division I prospects and beating them. And then we on this side, they don't give us no respect. So I look at it like that because he was developed under our tutelage.
Yes, he was.
In his county. He's actually one of my kids.
This actually would have been his first year.
It had been his second year varsity.
Second year varsity, yeah.
He played last year.
He left as a – he played JV ball.
He played JV ball as a ninth grader. Then he played JV ball. Then he played varsity ball as a sophomore. And it was a developmental project, but – as he was learning how to develop, I mean, he had tools, but you know, I already know it's a high expectation at the lady at the Muskegon Big Red Foundry, I call it.
Okay, the Foundry.
Yeah, they put the guys in like camels,
turning out them products.
Yeah, they put the hard work in. So he wasn't making the cut a little bit sometimes, but he was getting better. And I've seen that process, and you know, Coach Guy's so hard on the guys that by the time they realize they scraping the surface, they be gone off the college camp and they doing great. So
great.
So Murray's doing good and just seeing that, and I just know that everybody's talking about the mountain that Muskegon gotta go against in Tillman. I'm like, they beat them last year. Get ready to get ran through.
Okay.
I'm saying it if everybody else don't say it kind of, I always talk crazy. So
go ahead.
I haven't proved myself wrong. I know enough and I've seen enough that I know that Muskegon is a well oiled machine, and I would love to see that Muskegon and that Cass Tech clash, because those are two teams that and two respected coaches that deserve to go at it.
Okay.
I would like to see that.
I agree
Good
with
guard
you.
Play on both sides. There's nobody that's too tall on either team. I know you got UAD Jesuit still out there. They big. But they don't have guard play like they had last year with Cassius. So it's a lot of things coming up. And then, you know, how Detroit is. Everybody put everybody out in the district.
Oh, yeah, right.
So now
right.
The district championship Detroit is Friday against Martin Luther King, Cass and Martin Luther King. So we got Muskegon over here. When the region comes, it's going to be what's that school? Christian and Muskegon.
And
everybody
Muskegon.
Know that. So once that after that happened, if those two collide, it's gonna happen.
So that would be Tuesday. Well, we got Grand Haven tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you know, you play every game, right?
That's right.
You got to play every game.
But if you look at the Grand Haven, they did it like this. They played Muskegon early this year.
Yes, they did.
So they can get it out the way.
Yeah.
So then they can figure out how to scout that tape. Because that's all they worry about winning is one game. They want to win that one game.
One game.
They always going to win 15 games, Grand Haven is.
Yeah.
So they got a decent program. But they always can't get over. They used to be able to get over the hump in the past of Muskegon. They struggle in that game. Now they can't beat Muskegon. Well, I can't beat. Because last year they won by Muskegon hit a late jumper.
Right.
They put them up for good. But they haven't beat them since 2012.
It's been a while.
Grand Haven is like, we got to play them early. So we can go into like a
Like a stall game, man.
Like a dissertation of basketball.
Right. We're gonna slow this thing down. We want this game in the 30s.
We're gonna do a thesis on how to beat Muskegon, quarter by quarter, minute by minute, second by second. And knowing them, how they play the game, because their girls' program is similar, it's gonna be to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna try to do whatever they can to get over the hump, Muskegon. But I know that the Big Red's gonna overcome and put them down. But I know that that game was played early on purpose.
Oh right, they scheduled us early.
Yep. So they get it out the way. Keep the kids' morale high. Get them a winning streak before they get crushed. So now it's like they didn't see Muskegon at their highest level towards the end of the season.
Well, good thing is we got them at home.
Yes,
okay. I definitely wouldn't want to go to the pit, man, and play them.
That game in Kenwood Hills last year was ridiculous. So
okay,
you already know what I'm thinking. So I'm like, I'm glad too. I'll be there for that one too tomorrow night. So I've just been trying to hold off.
Good officiating.
That's right.
All right, we want good officiating, and let chips fall where they may. And if everything goes as planned, come Tuesday, we'll be at Grand Haven.
And there it is.
Playing Grand Rapids Christian.
Yep, and then Muskegon Hikes, they played Kent City the other night. They did. They beat them by, like 13. They're looking pretty good. They got a lot of
play. Yeah, it was a tough game at first.
Yeah.
Kentwood City was hanging with them. And then they pulled away at the end, so that's great.
Speed and that guard press.
Tigers to move on.
Yep, so they want both. We want everybody that's affiliated with our community to move on. Even if you're a different school.
We don't play that. We just want to root for our kids,
for
man.
For our kids, man.
That's right. So we're not haters.
Yep. Want you to shine and do the right thing.
Yeah, because it's all a reflection on West Michigan, right, at the end of the day?
Because when it comes to recruiting, they say, ain't nothing in Muskegon. And we know we all hear that. We want to make sure we keep on putting good products out and good programs out or countywide. So
countywide.
Just keep on surviving the test and keep on pushing through if you're part of this Muskegon brand countywide. So let's keep it like that.
All right. Well, let's get ready to get into the show.
Before we start the show, I've been sitting up here just thinking about you work in a business where you provide services, right?
Right.
And then I work in a business where I provide services as an affiliate, and some of the services are my own. And sometimes you you look over the history of your life and your business, establishing your name and your brand, and you look at it and you say, okay, I've done this for several people. I've done this for hundreds of people. And you get to a point where you find people or you find situations where people say, oh, I can do that myself.
Okay.
And that's like, that's a scary situation.
Yes.
Especially when you're dealing with finances and contracts and insurances and policies and investments. Like they say, you can day trade yourself. It's cost $7 a trade. All those little things out there with no knowledge. You say you're about to dive in something and raise your whole family and work your job and try to make a better situation with no knowledge at all because you don't want to spend a dollar. That means you really lacking some type of knowledge. So I've been just trying to put that in my head when I talk to some people and they say, oh yeah, I'll do that myself. I'm like, okay. But you've been in a situation for longer than a year. You've been in a situation for longer than 5 years. So all of a sudden you got the bright idea to you want to change in your life.
You're going to fix this situation.
And then when you're going to fix it, you're going to go about it wholeheartedly by yourself.
Well,
is that a King Kong time to beat your chest and say, I got this financial thing and I got kids growing up. And I know that one day they might be in college. One day they might be might be a serious situation that somebody needs some health care, and they might ask me for my social security number. My credit score ain't right. I say, I'm working on that right now. I'm doing it on my own.
Right.
I'm mail some letters off myself. And then you're like, well, your child can't have this surgery, or you can't move to this community because your credit score, you can't have this apartment. So it's just so many things that we have to look at in the complexion and the complex of life.
You know, it's like the old adage about a lawyer that represents himself as a fool for a client.
Yes, he does.
Okay. And I mean, I don't know how profound you can get, but that is profound to say that a guy that's a lawyer, but yet want to represent himself as a fool for a client. In other words, get another lawyer. Okay. Go get some help. Somebody got a different set of eyes that's going to look at it totally different. And especially like, you know, you're saying, if you got financial risk involved, then you should get help.
You're right.
It's okay.
Yep. So I always look at the situation like coming from a household. My father was a mechanic, and sometimes it was certain work that he couldn't do. And he'd be like, "Yeah, so we're gonna strip this motor down, but this transmission got to go to motor man or somebody."
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, "Why you gonna do that?" He said, "I don't mess with that. That ain't my thing.
That's not my expertise.
It's not my thing." So we're gonna strip it all down. We got to get these new head gaskets, and so we're gonna have these people put it on. See, I can put everything back on for you, but that's, I'm not doing
that. You got a machine that head. You got to send that, you know, like if you're going to put on a new, set of new head, heads, they got to take them out, machine them. I mean, yeah, right. He, like you say, that's not his expertise.
So I don't do that. He said, and then so, plus, he said, why? He said, who got time like that? He said, I'm out having fun with you. You, my son, we could be making barbecue and kicking it and riding around in the car instead of trying to figure out something that I don't know how to do.
A man must know his limitations.
So it's like, and it's just, you know, pride could be our own enemy, and just, I don't know what it is. It's just, I just struggle with that at times because, like today, we're sitting there during our show, and I got this, I read a lot of financial books, and I got Kiplinger's book, and it's today it's
very
about,
reputable magazine. Kiplinger's.
Good stuff, man. Yep. Heard about it from Warren Buffett 5 years ago. So I was like, I
subscribe.
Yeah, I subscribe to them. So like, I can go online, but it's like, it's good to have hard facts. And then now, since their 70th anniversary, so then you're talking about a magazine that's still producing with all this internet around. Mm-hmm. They got 70 years in, and today's show, which we probably will extend into another show, was going to be 70 ways to build wealth.
Wealth.
So you're telling me it's not one way to build wealth?
No. It's more than 70.
Yeah, it's more than 70.
But they've pared it down to 70, so it's palatable. We can we can go through those 70 items and basically put them to practice, and we may not become extremely wealthy, but we will probably become more financially stable.
Like the book, on the title of the book, it got the nest eggs on the front.
What color are those nests? What color
it's
are those
gold,
eggs?
Brother, gold, brother. That's gold. Okay. Gold is key. Let me get to the point where I can give me some gold bars.
Hey, the golden rule is the man with the gold makes the rules.
That's right. You're right. Okay. That's the old stock market.
The man with the gold
before the stock
makes
market
the
came.
Rules.
That's the gold.
That's it.
The gold standard.
Yes.
That's so. It. So I got these 70 ways. I'm gonna go through some of them. You can help me elaborate on these. And it's things that I know you've tried, and some of these things I've tried, and I'm currently doing today. And it's just looking at them and just being able to see my life. That it's a better and clearer picture with more clarity. The first thing, Tony, is save early and often. You just got to talking about me on the show when I was telling you I just paid some off. And he was like, find something else to do with the money. So what do you mean by that? Go buy some Jordans?
No.
Go out and go some crazy vacations? What do you mean?
So if
I paid something off that was a high-ticket item like a car or home or a business investment that's probably upwards of $10,000, $15,000, and say if the payment was $300 a month or $500 or whatever the number was, what do you mean find something else to do with the money?
Here's an opportunity to take advantage of some investing that you may have been thinking about. Okay, you take the $300 and... 30, 60, no more than 90 days. You need to have that plan in place and start funding that plan. Because what I mean is, if you don't start funding that plan, you're going to find something else to do with that money, which may not bring you a return. Okay, it may turn out to be more of an expense than something that's going to build you a wealth or bring you a return and appreciate and value. So that 300 becomes more than 300 at some point in time. But if you got extra income, like you just said, you got a raise now.
Okay,
you got
that's that, right. That's a raise.
Got it out the way. Yeah, got it out the way.
And so. I still have an asset. So it's like I have an asset that's worth a certain value, and then I got a raise. So now I got the money and I got the asset, and the asset is still worth something.
Right.
And it's still being
appreciating.
Used.
Yeah, you still got use out of it.
That's right. So then that puts it at the stage where I was like, well, what's number two? Number two says create an emergency fund.
Man, that is so key. Those two items right there are the foundation of starting to garner wealth and financial independence, financial freedom, however you want to coin it or phrase it. But you have to start saving money. You have to invest money, and you must have an emergency fund.
So, like right now, I know we have 6 months.
That's the rule. Yep, the rule.
Six months
of income.
And my wife actually is like, why is all this money over here right here? I'm like, because somebody lose a job or like accident happened.
Yep.
So you always gotta look at it like that. So it's like she's like, oh, that's money there. I'm like, that's not a vacation money. That's for just in case.
Yeah, because you know the national average says that most people are two paychecks away.
Yes, they are.
From bankruptcy.
Yes, and it's a dirty road. Whew.
And that's not good.
Man, it's a tough fight. I'm telling you, it's a tough fight. You don't want to see that fight. That's one fight that you'll lose time dealing with that fight.
Yeah, so a lot of people say, well, how do you create this emergency fund?
How do you create this emergency fund?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
well, one of them said save early and serve often. It says if you're saving 3% or 10% of your income. So it says if you have a dedicated stash of cash and ready in case of a job loss or an unexpected bill, let's say for a major car repair or hospital visit, you won't have to resort to racking up credit card debt or tapping into your retirement savings over to cover the tab. So it says squirrel away at least 3 to 6 months worth of the living expenses in a safe, easy access way or money market deposit account. You always talk about those.
Mm-hmm.
For more personalized amounts to save, use a tool, you know, and they give you websites and everything. So I'm looking at, when you look at it, you think about 10% out of each check. We talked about that, 10, 10, 10, invest, save, charity, right? Mm-hmm. Invest, save, charity, invest, save, charity, invest, save, charity. So that breaking that equation down, you're like, well, that's 30% of my check, but look what it's doing. You guys living off 70. All right,
living off 70.
And that's, what's his name? Jim Rohn. He say, take every dollar and it's 70 cents that you get to hold on to.
That's pretty good. That's good.
70 cents. So like you said, 10, 10, 10. So say if you got a check that's $1,000. Well, that's $100 going towards that emergency fund.
Every paycheck.
Every paycheck. So if you get $100. Paid, if you get paid twice a month, you get paid every four week, times a month.
Once a month.
So four times a month, you get paid four times a month, 300 times four, that's $1,200.
$1,200. Yeah.
But that means that you have figured out that I don't need all the clothes. I don't need to be at every single party.
Right.
I don't need to be have the latest everything. I don't have to have this new thing. I don't have to be had to have the most extravagant things. That $1,200 can become a reality.
Right. So it is simple as taking a Roth IRA.
That's on here too.
Okay. You take the Roth IRA.
Let's go right to that. It says open a Roth. That's number four. So we'll go back to the other one. So,
okay, we're going to use the Roth and incorporate it with the first two items that we've already talked about.
Okay, explain that. Go into detail with that.
So we're saying that we're going to create an emergency fund.
Yes.
And then we're also going to increase our savings. So you set up the Roth IRA. And the Roth, there's two types, traditional or Roth. Traditional says that whatever I invest in, I get to reduce my taxable income at the end of the year. So over the course of the year, I put $5,000 into this traditional IRA. I made $50,000. So my taxable income now is $45,000.
So that's better than taking a standard deduction.
Okay.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago. You don't. Okay. I've never taken a standard deduction.
So I'm going to sock this money away. And when I take distribution of it, it is a taxable event. Okay. Roth.
But you still can get out of that, can't you? In some way you can.
Well, yeah, you can liquidate it at any time. There's no rules that you can't liquidate it. It's just a vehicle that you can use to fund yourself.
But what about, I know you're taxed. You'll be not penalized, but like you'll be taxed. But isn't there still like a way through the tax? Like say if you was buying a house.
Right. 15. There's a hardship.
Okay.
For medical.
That's right. Down
school,
payment of a home.
Payment on a home.
So you could use it for that. So people always talk about down payment. That's the best way to do it.
Right. You can use the traditional IRA for that. Okay. Now, 59 and a half is the age in which that you can start taking distributions of it without a penalty. 59 and a half. That's traditional.
That's how the people live. The older people that's rich be living off their interest.
Right. Okay.
Off their big pension.
I talk about this at another time, but I had a conference call today with Franklin Templeton, and that was the topic, how you develop that income stream.
Man, that's it, man. That's what I need. Okay. That's what I'm praying for right there.
So we're going to use the Roth because what happens with the Roth is as you fund it at the end of the year, if you've put $5,000 in, your taxable income was $50,000. You still pay taxes on $50,000. You do not get to reduce your taxable income at the end of the year with the Roth. Okay? Your $5,000 still out there in the Roth. But when I take distribution, there is no taxes.
Okay. All
right. Okay. IRA, taxable,
but then
traditional.
It's gaining interest off the market that you put
absolutely
in. So you get to get all the extra money.
You keep all those gains.
That's a credit card that's paying you back.
Technically, yeah.
That's what it is. That's interest that pays you instead of you paying somebody else.
Yep. And then there's I have a program called a single K. Okay.
You told me about the K. Like you got business.
Right. These are guys that's got their own business, and it's set up just like employers have a 401k.
Yes, sir. But it's a K.
Single K is for the small business person that wants to set up savings for retirement other than an IRA or a traditional IRA.
Yes, sir.
In a Roth. So you can actually, just like a traditional 401k, you can borrow from your single K if you wish, pay yourself back with interest. Okay. But for the sake of the example that we're going to talk about, the Roth, is if you said, okay, I want to have I want to make sure I always got 10 grand in my Roth IRA because that's my emergency fund. Might be more, maybe less. But you also can have a traditional sitting over on another side, and once you exceed $10,000 of value in your Roth, you can transfer that over to the traditional because it's less liquid. Your Roth is liquid immediately, so you can still get the gains of having tax-deferred benefits off the traditional and have a Roth, which basically is more liquid than traditional IRA. But that can be your emergency savings because you can go in there and get that anytime you want to with no penalty.
Yeah. So that's good. That's a powerful statement. So the next one, it says, make the most of an employer incentive. So like mine and my job being a teacher, the public savings that we use. But I also can open up a Roth also.
Yes, you can. You can never have too many investment vehicles, man. Yeah. So what that says is if there's a match, if your company has a 401k pay.
Not for the teachers, though.
No, you don't, unfortunately. But private industry, a lot of times, in lieu of a defined pension. Okay. Years ago, when my dad worked, your dad worked, they, when they retired, they had a pension. They was going to get this money for the rest of their lives as long as they were alive. They got this money, or they would have the survivor benefits that says, you know, you'll take a less amount of your pension because if you die, you want to make sure your wife still gets a portion of your pension. Yeah. That's a survivor.
That's how it is right
ship,
now.
For the pension.
They still got that for teachers. That's, we still got that.
Okay.
Yep. So, like, if I always get those statements in the mail, and they say, all right, you get this with your wife and your kid. If you die, your wife and your kid get this.
Okay. Yep.
Like even if I die today, it's like the money will be there.
Right. For the rest of your life.
For the guys. Now, we know we in Muskegon. It's for the guys that think that if you missing your years of working, I'm telling you, it pays. And when you older, you're like, why this old man give me getting these cars? Or he got these airplanes and these boats.
Yeah, it's them vacations.
From when he worked when he was young.
Yeah, and he saved too. So he saved along with it as well.
That's it. Putting those years, when those golden years come, you're like, where did this money come from? Now he's able to do special things for his family and his kids. So that's what he's talking about. It's not about the now.
No. And employers, they'll say they'll match up to 15%. Okay, in other words, if you defer 15% of your income into the company's 401k, the company will match up to 15%. So that's dollar for dollar. That's free money. And the reason they do that is because they have found out how expensive it is to operate and maintain a defined pension program. So they're basically taking that away and saying, okay, in lieu of that, we're going to give you this money. And you invest it how you want because this is your retirement. And when you leave here, that's what you leave with.
Yeah. Like I got some here. See, look, you know your stuff, Tony. It said many companies enroll employees automatically at the contribution rate of 3%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or their salary. But aim for 15% of your income, including the company match from the beginning of your career until the end.
That's right.
That's the golden. That's the egg.
That's it. And if you like they say, they enroll you at the 3%.
You miss it. You don't miss it. I'm telling you, as you get older, you're like, oh, that money. I haven't even checked my little multiplier and all that. I haven't checked none of that. I'm like, it's there. I seen it. I see it like once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I see how it grows. But that's the one that's guaranteed that I'm gonna have. But the other stuff I look at, but it's like, oh, I know that's gonna be there.
Yeah, it's there. That's the mirrors. Yeah, it's gonna be there.
Them years is there. That's like I'm putting each time in. It's going to be there, and it's showing me the increase. That's why they send me the statements. I'm like, okay. And I go over them, but I'm like, wow, I'm glad I started early.
Oh, absolutely, man. And you
22,
know,
I'm like, I'm 39. Like, that's 17 years of money just being there.
And as you continue to add to it, it's the effect of compounding interest, okay? And there's a chart that will show you what your money is worth 20 years from now, 30 years from now. And it's amazing how that works. But you got to get in the system. You got to be involved. And if, like it says, it started at 3, if you feel like you can't afford to get to the 15 right off the bat, then, make a commitment to yourself that every year that you work, you're going to at least increase it 2 to 3%. Because you're at 15, man.
I know as a teacher, they said we could go as much as 18,000 of our income a year. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to. I want to do that. I want to do that for like the next 15 years. Like, oh, $18.
Do the math, man.
Yeah, because if you look at it, like, say a luxury car you want. Well, I want this car. I want that. You look at the prices, you're like, well, if you want something real, like, on a luxury end, you're paying $900 a month for that. So yep. With insurance and everything. So you just imagine, you're like, well, $900 a month. What about paying $900 over 12 months to your savings?
Right. That's it.
That's it. That's closer to that 18. So now you maxing what you can get to your contribution to yourself. And then you drive, like you said, you drive a car that's 4 years older, and you like you can rent the luxury one when you feel like it. Let me go rent that Corvette right quick for the weekend in Miami. We in Miami.
Okay, that's what you
I
want
a
do,
car
man.
For a month to just go travel for the whole month, a nice luxury vehicle for the month. How much is that? Oh, that's going to be $1,000. That's gonna be $1,000, sir. You got your own insurance or whatever. You're going to cover it. That's okay. That's that 1 month.
It's 1 month. It's all right. I felt good. I got it out of my system.
But I got $15,000 I saved over the year.
Yeah, that bank instead statement.
Instead of giving it to somebody else to have the car every day in your driveway.
No.
It don't make no sense.
Because if you look at it and you think about the people that drive Mercedes, okay, with no hardship, we always consider those to be the lawyers, the doctors, professionals. Yeah. But yet if you're an individual that's
tax
working.
That's,
and yeah, for them it is. Because
and a company might just give them a company car.
And it could be. But if you're working on an hourly job and, you know, your income is $35,000, $40,000 a year, you don't really need a Mercedes.
No, you don't.
Okay? I love them, too. I like them. But I tell you what, unless I was making $4,000 a week.
Nah, we can do that.
I would do it. I don't. And so, therefore, I'm going to buy something I can afford and feel comfortable with,
Give
man.
Give me the company lease. Give me the company lease, and I'm making $4,000 a week. Let's do that.
A week, man. That's You're the right. kind of cash. Cause you got to remember, everything else got to come out of that $4,000 a week. House,
yeah,
you know,
you're right. You don't want to spend them over what more than 40% on your housing expenses. So
right.
You got 30% going towards retirement savings and charity to tie it, and you got another 30 to 40% going towards your living. So now you got 30 that's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you're doing, your loose ends or whatever, but now you got your money, and then you might have some more to save right there. So that's the equation that I really want to get back to with a household with two people working. So this has only been one for working in my household. And things being paid off, though.
Because you understand.
I've been getting blessed, but I'm like, and I tell my wife, I'm like, oh, you know, it might be good you go back to work. And I'm looking at that $18,000 to put it save up. She probably thinking, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to buy? Like, no, I'm not going to buy nothing. I'm looking at the things that I'm studying, audience, and guess what? It's a reality. You can pay things off, and you can look at it like, what am I going to do with this money or not? So I'm talking to you two from a standpoint that we just don't do shows. We're actually trying to live.
You have to live it, man.
On purpose on what we're telling you. So when I get in front of you and I open my mouth, you'll know in the first 60 seconds, like, he for real. He's really trying to put that together, that plan together for himself. And I want to see you have it for yourself also.
But it's a sacrifice.
Yes, it is.
Okay? It's a sacrifice.
You might not have
to
sign these things.
No. And you got to be content. You got to tell yourself, it's okay. It's all right. We're good. We're in a good spot. You know, we got a plan in place. And we're going to forego some of the things that our friends are doing.
Man. Like, here's what our friends are doing. Imagine you get a car you got for 4 years. And you're like, oh, yeah, you can trade this in and get a new one. All right, 4 years. So you're paying something for 4 years at $400 a month. That's $16,000, right? That you don't have no more.
Mm-hmm.
So you get into the fourth year of the car. You can get you trade this in and get another one. They say, all right. Well, you still owe $7,000, you owe $5,000 on this 4 years that you had, right?
Right.
Let's trade it in again, get another brand new car for the next 4 years.
Okay.
Then, oh, yeah, you know, we're just calling you, so you want to trade another one in. So that's how much is that? 16 plus 16,000 is what? 32,000.
32.
That you gave somebody else. Now, let's look at this, though. Let's say you're like, well, all right, I'm just going to buy this car that's $7,000, $5,000. Mm-hmm. Outright cash for my tax return or something.
Done.
And this car not gonna go no farther than probably in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna take it anywhere. But it's a good car.
Yep.
So then I say, all right, $7,000 paid for it. Now look at it. You got $25,000. Before you have it, you got it. Like you just said, make the plan. Like, all right, last year I got this much in income taxes. And people getting big income taxes. Some people do. Because they don't have businesses or they're doing a standard deduction or whatever they're doing. So all right, they get $7,000, they go get a car. Nice car. Got a great deal. Car 3-4 years old.
Shop around, yeah.
Great vehicle. Yeah. Low miles, decent miles. And they're like, all right, make sure the oil changes and everything, right? Now they ride this car for 5 years. They're like, oh, I paid those years when I was doing that $32,000. I'm saving $16,000. I'm saving $11,000. I saved $11,000 for these 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I might need to go get another car. Well, look, well, you trade this car in for $2,000. Take $3,000 at $11,000. You got seven. You still building the money, but you still got a dependable car. You still got a dependable ride. So
quick and dirty math. While you was talking, I was crunching some numbers.
I know.
Right?
I seen you.
$500 a month.
All right.
Times 12.
All right. That's 6 months. That's 1 year.
Yeah. Times 5 years.
$60,000.
That's 30 grand.
30 grand.
30 grand. So if you got a person out there that's shopping for a car right now and one of these, you know, corner dealerships, get them in there.
And show them a bells and whistles.
Yep. And say, okay, I'm going to get you into this car for $500 a month. And you go to Blue Book and you look at the car. Blue Book is, we'll just say 15 grand. Car is 15 grand.
Oh, that's one of the mom and pop shops. Go ahead.
So at the end of the term, you done paid it off. You've actually paid $30,000
for a $15,000
for a $15,000 car versus, like you're saying, paying it cash, ride it. For those 4 years, maybe five, you got your good car and you maintain it, that's how much money you could have saved and put into some kind of a investment program, an IRA, or put it in with your matching fund at your job. So, you know, you got to do the numbers.
Yeah. So,
hey, numbers don't lie. Figures don't lie.
You're right.
Liars figure.
You're right. Yeah, that's figurative language right there. We studying figurative language in school.
Okay.
Question number five. We'll end it today. Man, this is 70 ways. We're gonna be doing this for a while.
Yeah, that's
it's kind of like a review of what we've been talking about.
For so look, a year. Yeah, number it's like five. A year look, in review, man.
Here it goes. Golden rule number five, and this is what we're doing today. Ask a pro for advice. A financial advisor can help you blaze a path to financial success, especially when you're starting out or facing complex financial situations. CPAs, financial people like me and you that don't live the experience, got connections to people that do it, and makes the situation simpler and easy for everybody else, because I wouldn't want you to change the transmission on the car if you've never done it before.
That's what I don't want to drive it.
Because that's what we're talking about. When you're in the lane of finances, you're trying to change gears to go from one spot to the next, to add a comma, to add a zero, to add some decimals to your life. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.